Welcome to the Classy Hour Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So, do you remember last week, about like 13 minutes into the podcast?
Yes.
We gave each other a look that was like, we're out of things to talk about.
Yeah. How'd you notice? Yeah. But this week...
Hopefully you guys didn't notice we covered brilliantly and had a full feature length... Not a feature length. A full standard length episode of podcast.
A feature for us.
Yes.
You know, stuck the landing, I thought.
God, if we could have only taken just like a sprinkling of what we have to talk about this week and see, put it into last week.
Those are the week where like some new Star Wars-y things has to happen. So we can like kind of vamp with that.
Yeah.
You know, because... That's kind of our go-to thing that, you know, everyone seems...
That's our standard padding.
Right, and everyone who listens to us, they don't really seem to mind. It seems like, you know, wrestling fan and Star Wars fan tend to intersect.
For the most part.
For the most part. We haven't gotten any complaints about it yet, so...
Right. We're just don't start complaining.
Assuming you guys like it. Yeah, don't start complaining yet. Complain about other stuff. Complain about Roman Reigns.
Just so...
Follow that tide.
In addition to all the Extreme Rules predictions and coverage we have to talk about, we... Have to talk about Raw this week.
Yeah.
More than usual because...
We were actually there.
We were actually physically at Raw this week.
Just stacked on top of the row in front of us.
Yes.
The row behind us stacked on top of us.
Yeah, it was a steep thing.
I had small Hispanic children poking me in the head with things. Unintentionally. Like, they had, like, posters or whatever, and they just kept smacking me in the head with it.
So, I don't necessarily, like... I looked at some of the comments and stuff, and like it was much more favorable than like the last time
Raw
was in the area.
The last couple times Raw have been here, we would go and you know while we're there, it's like, oh, we're having a good time. This seems like a pretty all right episode of Raw, and then we go home, look online, and everyone hates it.
Yeah.
But this one, I could tell. By being there, that it was better than the previous few ones that we had been.
I even mean, like, I saw compliments about, like, that was a good crowd. And I was like, yes, we're a good crowd, finally!
Right. And also, like, the crowd was, like, way more active, and they filled the place up
yeah.
a lot more than the last couple times.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped big time.
Yeah. So, reports from... You know, basic main over stuff. I'd say Roman kind of got a 50-50 split.
At the end. When he first came out in the talking segment with AJ,
mm-hmm.
he got pretty well booed.
I think the boos are more intense, but the cheers are more resilient.
I guess.
That's probably a fair way to put it. Because sure. he got like... If it's a... The booers, the people who will cheer Roman Reigns will cheer when it's appropriate to cheer. The booers will boo every chance they get.
Right.
I mean, booers were booing, like, the tap-out commercial. Because
right.
Roman Reigns was there.
Right.
And like, the people who were cheering were waiting until he came out, he said something cool, or he, you know, got a hot tag, or whatever it was. Right. Like, and then
The people who were on board with Roman kind of picked their spots.
Yeah.
Where the people who were against Roman just didn't
every
care.
Chance.
Yeah.
There were clearly, like, it was not overwhelming boos all night, nor was it overwhelming cheers.
Sure. And then, you know, in the spaces in between was pretty much filled with We Want Rollins chants.
Yes.
Pretty much solidly the entire night.
Yeah, there was a lot of We Want Rollins.
Which made me feel good. And then, I don't know if you could, because I only went back and rewatched a couple segments, but there was a huge section of very, like, clearly, like, online users of wrestling fans that are our age. And it seemed like every last one of them was wearing one of those, like, baby blue New Day shirts.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I don't know if you guys can notice that, but they were all about it the entire night. Like, I don't think there was a point where they ever sat down.
Yeah. I will say that... The Usos got way more cheers than I expected.
Yeah.
And okay, for me personally, I will cheer Roman before I cheer Usos at this point.
Right.
Usos are bordering on Sheamus levels of I don't care for them anymore.
Sure.
So I was a little taken aback from that,
mm-hmm.
but like the Usos got some insane pops.
Let's kind of cut to the part of the night where a little girl in front of us gave you the look that basically just gave you a death wish.
Yes.
Let's see. Because it was a point where, you know...
It was a nice back and forth, let's go Usos, Usos suck chant.
Was it Usos or was it Roman?
It was Usos.
It was?
It was okay. Usos, yeah.
There was a little girl, maybe 5, 6.
Yeah.
Seated directly in front of me, and Joel, like, and again, like, Joel wasn't the only one chanting that.
No.
Several of us in our group was, but for some reason, this girl
seemed a large portion of the arena was, like...
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I don't really think I'm going to be the person to, like, try and start a creative chant about how something right. sucks.
But I guess just Joel's voice just pierced through all the other noise going on, and she turned around when Joel said Usos suck. She turned around, and I swear this little girl, like...
learned how to hate that
She night. Aged at least 25 years in that one segment just to give Joel... the stinkiest of stink eyes I've ever seen in my life. And to the point where Joel was, like, kind of taken aback by it. And I just kind of looked at Joel like, what did you do?
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I felt really bad about that. Because the first time we were there, there was a kid who was so excited about Cena.
Right.
Like, that's all he wanted. He was decked out in everything. Headbands and shirts and everything.
She was. They were, like, seated in front of us.
They were seated time, right in front of us. And then right in front of them... was a super let's hate on Cena jerk.
Yeah.
And like...
No, and I'm not saying like, you know, just people that hate on Cena.
No.
This guy was particularly...
This was like the guy that was trying to start the chant during like a completely random segment.
Sure.
The guy who was chanting it at the kid.
Yeah.
Like, and so it was that, you know, that kind of thing where I was like, I see that. I was like, well, I'm going to cheer for Cena tonight.
Yeah, just like, for that one guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And... so, and, like, I feel like I was that, you know, jerk guy to that girl. Like, I mean,
but you weren't.
I know I wasn't, yeah. But that's Death Stare totally.
But she gave you that look as if she,
it made me shut up. Like, and I went and clearly complained about it online afterwards. That's what I'm doing right now.
Of course.
Because Usos are on Sheamus levels, and I don't care for them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, see previous portion of the podcast. But I didn't cheer Usos sucked right over her head anymore.
Maybe that's how we get Roman over. Just a army of Miz girls, essentially.
Yeah.
To come and just, like, give you the death stare that makes everyone just stop in their tracks.
Yeah.
Because nothing is quite as terrifying as the serious gaze of a 6-year-old girl. That's, like, that's horror movie stuff.
Yeah.
Like, give them, like, really pale makeup and... I won't be able to sleep for a month.
Shining Stars got nothing.
No.
That was
the crowd was so confused by that. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of you guys have been to these live events or these events before. So anything like they say on the mic, you kind of sometimes have to strain to really hear what everything they're saying. So they come out on the mic and we really can't understand anything they're saying. And I went back and watched it on... you know, and they watched it on TV later, and it was still a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just, they came up with, like, a weird, convoluted, like, the ring is Puerto Rico now.
When we're in it.
When we're in it.
Maybe. I don't know.
And then I think, like, a segment later, someone called, like, the ring International Waters, and I'm like, wait, what? It was just Puerto Rico.
So, yeah, I don't know, like... where they're going with that, but that was a nothing segment. Like,
it and I saw somebody posted a meme of, like, you know, all of the Primo and Epico's other gimmicks. Like, it didn't work. Let's give them a new gimmick, and they show them, you know, with the Shining Stars get up. And then you have Damian Sandow, where, like, oh, this got over. Let's fire them. You know, stuff like that. It's just like it makes you scratch. And I. Primo and Epico, I've always enjoyed their ring work, like, you know, since forever.
Yeah, but...
even when they were Los Matadores, but their gimmicks have been awful.
Give me an over-under on 6 weeks before they're facing Social Outcasts.
Oh, man. I'm going to give it 2 months.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, like, hopefully, you know, because again, like I said, I'm a fan of their ring work, Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can just churn that New Day miracle, you know? Because yeah, New Day was like, pretty awful when they started.
It was, but it was solidly and without question it was awful. So we kind of had this, hey, that's awful. Let's boo it.
Right.
And, you know. And
but
so,
with this, we're just like, I don't understand this.
Are they faces or heels? Because, I mean, honestly.
I'm assuming they're heels because well, they had like, two local North Carolina guys, and they basically, like, treated or acted as if they were less than because they were from North Carolina.
Yeah, they're non-Americans talking about how great a non-American place is, which traditionally is WWE code for heel.
Right. Which is also a very racist thing that WWE's done in the past. You think they would steer clear from. And also, Puerto Rico is technically part of the United States.
Yes, but those two guys have definitely gotten USA chants against them.
Oh, sure.
Like,
I'm not saying people are just, people make sense or anything.
I think we've cheered for Canadian wrestlers with a USA chant against guys from Puerto Rico.
Sure. No, absolutely. I'd probably guarantee it. So, they've got a very steep mountain to climb with that gimmick. Yes. And I just assume, like, when I saw the vignettes, like, all right, well, when they debut, this is going to make sense or something like that. And then they made the debut, and
it did not.
It made me more confused.
Yes.
And, like, now it's just like, oh, they are a tourism tag team?
I don't know. It's weird. I would want to say I think Charlotte did the best she's ever done.
Okay.
As far as her mic
sure.
Go.
All right. Okay. That segment was that segment was weird in a lot of ways, and I don't know if it's how they executed it or if it was just the crowd. Because the crowd, from what I got out of it, the crowd couldn't make up their minds on exactly who they wanted to cheer for. Everyone in that ring got, like, a positive face reaction, except for Natty. Like,
yeah.
Greensboro, North Carolina did not give a crap about Natty.
Okay, so we were there to cheer Ric Flair. It's
sure, like, yeah.
The location of where, like, the building is, the history of Ric Flair there.
It's the first time in a long time that, as part of WWE, Ric Flair has come to Greensboro, specifically the Greensboro Complex, which is, like, a building that he basically built.
Yeah.
From, you know, all the classic matches that he's had with Dusty Rhodes here.
So, we were there to cheer Ric Flair.
Sure, absolutely.
Charlotte, I mean, Natty got some cheers because she's a face. Shane got some cheers.
Because it's Shane.
And then Charlotte got cheers because that means Ric Flair's a-coming.
Right. And Stephanie got cheers. Somehow.
And so we get to this point where, and I think Charlotte did a really good job of getting boos out of people.
Sure.
I did not think that crowd was going
to
boo a
Flair. Definitely found a way to kind of, like, turn the crowd.
And I remember, like, I've said in the past that they'll never be able to turn Ric Flair heel again because he's too much legend status. And since then, I've said I never should have underestimated Ric Flair's ability to be a heel. I was a fool.
Also, it seemed like everyone was kind of taken aback by Natty just straight up calling Ric Flair creepy.
Yeah.
Which, it's like we all have this reaction like, oh, like I'm not sure how I feel about that. And then, like, I'm sitting here, like, talking, and it's like, well, I mean, he is, but you don't have to say it.
So,
it seemed like a really weird thing to do.
I get the fact that, like, Ric Flair is in Charlotte's corner, and he makes it unfair.
Sure.
Because that's true, and
some would even say it's unflair. Huh?
No.
Unflair? Sounds like unfair?
They get, like,
it's a play on words.
And that's where the counter comes from.
Yep. Okay.
Like, that he's a manager, that's what he does.
Sure.
Like, fine. So I get the, like, whole, Ric Flair's here, and now it's unfair. But they're adding on this, like, thing of, I remember when you had integrity and we wrestled in NXT and had a great match, but Ric Flair was at that match too.
Yeah.
So, like.
So was Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Charlotte was the heel.
Nothing's changed there. They were both faces.
They were? Okay. I couldn't remember if they were or not. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, like, so the whole, like, now your dad's here thing is like, pretty much there since the beginning.
Yeah.
As far as Natty's concerned. But the fact that Stephanie McMahon slapped Ric Flair in the Greensboro Coliseum and got cheers.
Yeah.
Not expecting that. That's well done. That is a good playing of the crowd to everyone involved.
It made no sense to do.
Like.
Because, again, Stephanie's supposed to be the heel. But so is Ric Flair.
Is Stephanie turning face?
I don't know.
Like, that was a face move, reaction.
I've actually kind of been enjoying the back and forth between her and Shane lately.
I have as well.
There's not, like, specific things I can point to, but it's like, I kind of dig their dynamic right now.
Well, there's not... We don't have the, like, one's gonna make all the face, you know, decisions. One's gonna make all the heel decisions. So whenever we need...
But right now, they're just playing off of each other to, like, make the show better.
Yeah, as soon as Vince said they're both going to be running Raw, that's immediately what I thought. Oh, whatever's convenient for story.
It's the Bischoff Stone Cold GM thing.
But they haven't done that. They've both made, you know, popular decisions and unpopular decisions under the guise of that's what's best for the show.
I'm making the assumption that it's just like a way to storyline wise reel Shane in to kind of let his guard down a little bit, so then Triple H comes in with the, you know, slap or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of assume
something with a sledgehammer.
How much longer can they keep Triple H off the show and still expect a heel reaction when he comes back?
It depends on what he does, to be honest with you. And if it's, and again, like, Shane is stupidly over because it's Shane.
Yeah.
So I feel like they can hold on to this until they get ready to, you know, start building for SummerSlam.
Okay.
Because I think Shane versus Triple H is the SummerSlam match.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which also might mean, like, it'll be something that happens, like, a couple months before SummerSlam. And they just kind of do a slower build on it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, that happened.
That was a time machine.
There was a time machine.
And again, like, they were setting that up. And, like, all we just knew was, like, there's a giant cardboard box with a lot of lights on it.
Like, you said, but, like, while we were waiting for that, you said, like, that looks like a homemade time machine.
Like, it sounded like, you know, like, it looks like a time machine, like, a kid would make.
With insult in your voice.
Yeah. And, like, I even put on our Twitter, I was like, guys, they're setting up something in the ring. I don't know what it is, but it confuses the crap out of me.
So.
And sure enough, the reveal, it was a time machine. Which, again, it's New Day. Like, they made comedic gold out of it. I still don't understand why WWE cut out the two best jokes in that entire... Like, whenever they post it on YouTube.
Yeah.
The YouTube show, or the YouTube clip that pops up when you search for it. They cut out the 2009 Kofi.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, that entire part. I'm guessing they didn't like the line where Kofi's like, 2009 was my best year. Like... They cut that out, and they cut out the sticky keyboard.
I thought they might, like, that's the thing. I assumed they would cut out the sticky keyboard, but the 2009 was my best year.
That was so funny.
Gold.
Yeah.
Just him coming out. We got to do boom, 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 but be silly about it.
And, like, bring back the accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was fantastic work.
Like, you know, and you think about, like, the way, like, for the end of that segment, like, that was such a throwaway segment. It's, if you just look at, like, the script of it all.
Yeah.
But, you know, the execution that just makes New Day, you know, the special...
New Day's excellence lies in their execution.
Yeah. And it's just one of the things where it's like, it's right when people are kind of... You see tiny rumblings online of like, all right, New Day's kind of, you know, getting kind of old on me. Not me, but
a couple people. I disagree.
I highly disagree, because every now and then they'll come up with something like that. It's like, nope, never doubt them.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, they're not comedic gold every week, but they're at least, like, comedic bronze every week.
At least. And, like, at least once during every pay-per-view cycle, they'll hit comedic gold.
Something hits perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you got an average like that, that's... Because usually WWE sans New Day, cannot hit comedic gold once a year.
Yeah.
But New Day's hitting it at least once every month. That's, you got something special at that point.
I'm with you there.
Just out of curiosity, how much longer do you think they'll have New Day together? Do you think that they hit 2 years, don't they?
Because 2 years is coming together. Up. Yeah, I would like to see them hold the belts for a year.
Here, yeah, okay.
I mean,
I would like to see them. Yeah, I would like to see them get the record.
I mean, it dips into our predictions, but I'll go ahead and say I'm predicting them to beat Vaught Villains. And part of that is because we are getting close to, can they make it a year? Because I think, did they win it at SummerSlam? Have they held us in SummerSlam?
I don't remember specifically.
Around SummerSlam.
I think they won it at SummerSlam, yeah.
But I don't remember if that was was that their second time? Or was that just their first time?
Because the first time was when they traded it with Cesaro and Kid. And then I think...
Didn't Primetime Players take it from them for, like, a little bit?
They might have.
When Primetime Players was face and they were still heel?
Maybe that's what it was. Primetime Players beat them, and they were the faces. And then Cesaro and Kid, who were heels at the time, I think then they won it. And then they basically turned face, and then I believe they lost to New Day. I don't know.
Whatever it is. My point is, it's getting around SummerSlam time, and... that they'll be either making it a year or being close to a year. And I feel like that's a good SummerSlam story for New Day. Sure. Is can they hold the titles for a year? Assuming that they're not, like, too worried about, like, year-long title reigns. Hope nobody remembers the last one of those.
Especially when they focus just on tag teams. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
I don't think it will be either, but weirder things have been a problem.
Sure. No, you're right.
Let's see. The Asylum match?
The setup, the reveal, like, and everything?
Yeah.
That was... And watching it again later, it kind of came across that way a little bit, but live, it came off really, really cool.
Yeah, like, that is something that I feel... looked bad on paper, and as I was expecting, like, if you had tried to be like, they're gonna do this, I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
But
just the way Dean kind of sold it, it worked.
No, that goes full credit to Dean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
the way he kind of set that up. But yeah, that was really cool to watch live. That was intense. I was like, let's do this.
And it sounds like it's going to be like a cage match, but...
There's no escape
clause. Well, right. You don't win by escaping. I'm sure they'll probably get out at some point, but it won't mean the end of the match. It has to be pinfall or submission.
Yeah. Anything else was it just me, or was there a pretty solid tease to, like, Hardy Boys are coming back?
Oh, I don't think it was a tease, but
I think that's happening.
Just kind of
like
a nudge and a wink.
That was an intentional reference to the Hardy Boys, wasn't it?
When the Dudleys were talking about, like, beating a couple small North Carolina guys.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, Matt Hardy's not that small.
Yeah, like, just
he put on some. It's a joke about him putting on some weight.
No, I get that, but why would you, if you don't have the Hardy Boys, right, which they don't?
No.
Why would you... Do you not realize what it sounds like when you're...
No, I'm pretty sure it was intentional. Just that, like I said, it was just a nudge and a wink. I don't think they really just thought anything past that.
Alright. Personally, I wouldn't nudge and wink if you don't have something to back it up.
That's all WWE does, is nudge and wink without anything backing it up.
Yeah, but it's different when you're like...
Sometimes that nudge is more of a, stab in the rib, but yeah.
Yeah. So, but sometimes it's like a nudge and a wink is like teasing something, like, let's see if this gets any reaction if we want to pursue this.
Sure.
I'm not exactly talking about like those unfinished storylines, those, what was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels?
Sure. Not kind of stories. Bad, yeah.
But this was like, hey, these guys, remember them? Yeah, we want to fight them. And then she's like, well, you can't because of contracts and drugs.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Everybody would have freaked out. So, I don't know. It was weird.
It was.
Anything else
for Raw? The post-Raw was fun.
Post Raw was fun.
Yeah, just Jericho and Dean going back and forth, like verbally. It was pretty fun actually.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a nice little back and forth. Dean Ambrose was pretty freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dean Ambrose is insanely over.
Yeah.
Like, if he got a tenth of the corporate push that Roman got, he would be over the moon.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
most over guy in the company.
Yeah, it is insane if how... they
put any sort of push behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, he did get that kind of push before WrestleMania going into Roadblock.
Yeah, but it got taken away from him because we got to focus on Roman.
Oh, sure, yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's no doubt.
The moment Roadblock was over, like, they took all that, you know, fire out from underneath him.
Yeah. So. All right, you want to move on to
yes. The
extremist rules?
Let's do it. I got a no DQ match in the kickoff show between Ziggler and Corbin.
Okay, so Ziggler won last time through a surprise roll-up pin.
Sure.
Which I feel pretty much confirms a Baron Corbin win this time.
Yeah, no, I agree. Corbin's going to win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, make the big guy look strong.
There you go.
Sure.
Okay, so for that one, my question is, so that's like the opener for Extreme Rules and is a no DQ match?
Yeah.
But clearly they're not going to, like, put their big, no DQ spots in there. So do you think more than one weapon will be used?
I will say three weapons.
Three weapons.
Okay. Yeah. How many are you saying?
I really feel like it might be the one. And they'll, like, trade it back and forth. Like, somebody will beat the other one down and then throw down the chair or the kendo stick or whatever in triumph, and the other guy will pick it up.
Does throwing someone into the stairs count?
No.
Dang it. Okay, no. Okay,
throwing somebody into the stairs doesn't count, but
picking up the stairs
and using the stairs as a blunt tool,
okay,
that is a weapon.
Anything that they can pick up and use as a weapon.
Yes, I'll give you that.
So that takes away tables.
I mean, I'll give you tables as a weapon.
All right.
So.
I'm glad that we had this very serious contractual agreement. Next we have the tag team match between the Usos and the Club, and it's now been revealed that it's a tornado tag match, which I know you love.
I do.
They're way more interesting than, you know, especially when you get just straight up tag team matches all the time.
Right.
Sometimes, and you know, several main events in a row.
Yeah.
On Raw. So it is nice to have this kind of break up the monotony of it. I'm guessing the Club's going to win.
Club wins now, so Roman can win later.
Sure.
That's kind of my feeling.
But if there's, like, the run-in that everyone's predicting, wouldn't that run-in make more sense during this match? Theoretically?
Yes, but important main event stuff.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Also, like, I would rather him be, you know, the ending story of the show rather than, like, oh, that was weird. It happened in the middle of the show. Now let's focus on the main event.
Sure. Next, they have listed the Asylum match between Ambrose and Jericho. I'm going to say Ambrose.
Ambrose, it's time, yeah.
Yeah, because this definitely needs to be the end of it.
Well, this is where he gets his, like, you know, ceremonial one over Jericho, salute ya.
But he won, did he win? At Extreme Rules?
The Extreme Rules is on Sunday.
Not Extreme Rules, Payback.
I honestly don't remember.
No, do I? Alright. Well, that being said, we have the Fatal 4-Way match for the Intercontinental Championship. Don't know what is extreme about that, but, you know, whatever.
I will challenge you to go all in and be super confident on Miz here.
No. No, I've already seen it in my picks to Blair, so I can't really, like,
Who did you pick for this one?
Cesaro.
Cesaro?
Yeah.
I'll go Kevin Owens.
Yeah, like, pretty much I feel confident about picking anyone but Miz.
Yeah, I feel very confident in not Miz.
Right.
And, like, I feel pretty equally confident in the other three guys.
Sure, like, I feel like this would be a great way for Sami Zayn to win the Intercontinental Championship, but without, you know, pinning Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Because, again, I feel like the last match of Sami Zayn's career is like years and years and years from now when he finally pins KO. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where any three of those guys can win, I can be like, good solid match, good solid Absolutely. Fair win, and I can see where they're going from here.
But if Miz wins, we're going to throw a brick at the...
Miz, where did that come from?
Yeah. You know, like when he first won the Intercontinental Championship, or the last five times he won the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
We've got a super extreme, but not really singles match for the United States Championship. Kalisto versus Rusev. I'm going to say Rusev.
Rusev. Cena's got to have somebody to beat when he comes back.
On Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Come on, you guys. Cena's coming back on Memorial Day. A super United States-y holiday.
Yeah.
The United States Championship. It's going to be held by Rusev. Come on, you guys. Come on. How do we not see this coming from a mile away?
Yeah. So, I went to bed as somebody who really liked the United States challenge, the open challenge.
Yeah, me too.
We are not alone. That was the majority response. Was
right.
And it, you know,
it gave a good hint of spontaneity pretty much every
right. week. There was a little bit of that. All the matches were, there was no like silly, ridiculous, not even worth seeing as time kind of squash matches.
Right.
It got a lot of people a chance to face Cena in a match, so they'll get some eyeballs on them. That being said, I don't really know if I want to see
a return to that.
Yeah, not right now at least.
Because the worst part about all of that was pretty much the same thing every week with Cena's promos.
Yeah, it was all leading up to, I thought, it was all leading up to who's going to be the one to break the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And when that was like, oh, it's definitely going to be Kevin Owens, and then, oh, it wasn't Kevin Owens, that kind of
killed... But it ended up being Del Rio.
Yeah, but it ended up being Del Rio out of necessity.
Sure.
Like, it didn't serve any greater story.
Right.
So, that Kevin Owens not winning it when he should have kind of soured me on the
right
whole thing. And if Cena comes back and is like, yeah, I'm going for the U.S. title now. That's what I do now is this open challenge. It'll be like, oh, so you'll just never lose it then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So, eh.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the submission match for the Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Natalya. If Ric Flair disregards his ringside ban, Charlotte loses her title.
So,
but I don't care. Charlotte's going to win.
Yeah. So, a banning of manager to prevent outside interference
mm-hmm.
with the stipulation that if outside interference, you know, happens, that ends the match, feels like the very exact opposite of extreme rules to me.
Yeah.
That feels like, you know, very safe and regulated rules, like, you should have, but don't ever, because you're, you know, cartoon wrestling show.
Sure. But extreme rules tend to indicate a less amount of rules.
Yes, and now there's more rules.
Now there's more rules, yeah.
Why are you going to Charlotte?
Just, I don't think she's going to drop the title to...
That's the only Natalya. Thing that keeps me from picking Natalya. Like, yeah. It feels like, okay, so...
I feel like Charlotte's probably not going to lose the title to any of the divas that were on the roster before her,
yeah.
before Charlotte. I feel like Charlotte was, you know, if Charlotte's going to lose to anyone, it's probably going to be Sasha Banks.
So we got this thing where, like...
At some point.
We got this thing where Ric Flair can't come out... When we all know Ric Flair is going to come out.
Sure.
That's definitely going to happen anyway. That will cause, you know, Charlotte to lose. Also, Natalya has a pretty famous submission move that she's been using a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the, like, signs point to Natalya's going to win, except for the, yeah, but I don't think Charlotte's going to lose to Natalya.
Sure, yeah.
So... That's the thing, is like, I'm going to pick Charlotte, but I'm kind of just being like, because that's how it's going to happen. I don't have any, like, all my really strong reasoning points in the other direction.
Right.
But I'm going with a gut feeling on this one.
Sure.
So, we'll see how that works out.
Right. And we also, like, we kind of know, like, the way the momentum is going. If it's overly, you know, the momentum is overly for one person the entire time, you know, the other person's going to win. And that's kind of the way it's filled with Natalia, because it seems like every freaking week, Natalia puts Charlotte into the sharpshooter and, you know, Charlotte's tapping.
Yeah. I will say I'm going to cheer for Natalia. I think it'd be a much more interesting storyline to see where we go from Natalia winning.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with Natalia and Charlotte, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I get that, but I want Charlotte and Sasha Banks to be a bigger deal than Money in the Bank.
Sure. No, I agree. Now that needs to. I still feel like that needs to be a WrestleMania match, even though I, you know, really, yeah. I adore Becky Lynch. But that should have been the main event. Or that should have been the WrestleMania.
Yeah, it should have been the main event. Let's be honest there.
Yeah. And the tag team championship match, again.
Yeah, I said earlier, New Day.
Yeah, New Day. And again, not very extreme about that. Just a straight up and down match.
All right.
Extreme, you guys. And then you got the Extreme Rules match with Roman versus AJ. I'm saying that this is probably where we're going to see the Finn Balor running. And I went to Twitter and, you know, asked people about like what they thought was happening. I got a message from, you know, our favorite at Evil Jackalopes, and basically either said, you know, that's probably the way it's going to end. If it not, it's definitely going to happen the next night at Raw.
Finn Balor seems to be the case that way. Roman can retain the title and AJ can feud with Balor.
Sure.
So
it'll take the feud away from Roman.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, who is next on Roman's list?
It's...
Because isn't the next pay-per-view Money in the Bank?
Next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank. So, like, I feel like Dean is next on the list.
It should be.
Just because, like, he's the only... He's over and exciting.
Right.
That's a thing I can stand to see some more of. It's there's no strong, like, heel presence where I'm like, that, you know, there's your top face, top heel, they're right. Gonna fight. The other thing, though, is I sure would like Dean to be in the Money in the Bank match.
Sure, yeah.
So whoever's facing Roman for the title doesn't have a chance at getting the briefcase, which is a, you know, getting the briefcase is a clear sign that the company's behind you.
Sure, well, it should be.
Whereas, you know, the person facing for the title on Money in the Bank is just, well, there has to be a title defense. I guess we'll do
that. Yeah, and it's just one of those things where it's just like, I don't know who they have Roman go up against as a, like, and Roman be a face.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Because right now, my scenario is thinking that it's either Dean or a returning Seth, or even maybe a returning Randy Orton. And both of those returns are going to be a face reaction.
Yeah, I mean, returning guy would be a solid thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, poo-poo on this, but John Cena is returning, and Cena versus Roman could be the, like, big deal feel to kind of get us over the hump back into SummerSlam.
Right.
So.
Or, since we're going to be down to one, again, like, one Money in the Bank contract match, they'll do another right. Money in the Bank for the championship.
Maybe.
Because they did that the last 2 years. I mean, last year...
it was vacated for Daniel Bryan.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And then...
I don't remember what happened last year.
I don't either.
Not wow, off the top that's of my head. Super depressing. I can't remember that. I mean, we know Sheamus won the contract. But I felt like... And Roman was in that match for the contract because... Of
because Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, because we saw that video for like 6 months.
I remember that happening.
So I don't remember what
Seth happened. Rollins was champion at the time. Did he win in a
no? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was champion. At the
he
time.
Was champion. At the
and
time.
J&J Security interfered somehow. They were in a ladder match though. I think.
I don't know, but this would be a good way to, you know, kind of get the heat off of Roman.
Yeah.
If they had a multiple person. And honestly, they could still have AJ. They could throw Finn in there. mm-hmm. and then just have those two guys cost each other their chances or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that would be a good way to, like, throw in a returning Seth and a Randy.
Yeah. No, I could see that. So, anything else? As far as Extreme Rules thoughts?
As far as Extreme Rules goes, no. Concerns? I'm good. Yeah.
What's making you happy?
They're starting to gear up for the next TakeOver. Mm-hmm. I know they did a taping of TakeOver, or not TakeOver, a taping of the next couple NXT episodes, and kind of seeing that take shape is exciting. You know, the cage match with Finn and Samoa Joe, yeah, is, you know, it's going to be the main event. It's going to look pretty great. The last week's episode had the match between Bayley and Nia Jax, and again, like, I give Nia Jax a lot of crap because she deserves it. But again, like, Bayley knows how to work with pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
And that was just another reminder of that. It's like, oh, Nia Jax is being treated like a legit monster instead of just, you know, getting her usual monster match where she just crushes somebody in, like, less than a minute.
Right.
You know, but actually showing her, like, have her show off that she's got more in her arsenal than a couple moves, it helps a lot. So we're going to get, spoiler, I guess, but it's really no surprise, Nia Jax versus Asuka for the championship.
Right.
We're going to get a rematch with the American Alpha and Revival. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And also apparently a number one contendership match between Nakamura and Austin Aries, which should be off the charts.
Alright.
So like, that's a lot of stuff
to get excited about. Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
Mm-hmm. What'd you get happy about?
So this is interesting. Okay. It was announced earlier this week, that I think on Sci-Fi, they would be running on Fridays, in the old SmackDown time slot, yeah, they would be running a 2-hour version of Raw.
Yeah, right. Just a condensed version of the whatever Raw from that week.
Right, which is not any sort of indication that they're thinking about going away from 3 hours.
Right.
So, like, I definitely see some headlines spin it as, like, WWE to produce 2-hour Raw starting this. Sure. I was like, what? No, that's not, I mean. But it's very interesting because it started to feel like WWE is putting their main event on at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Like the big thing, that the match or the segment that they announced at the top of the show that's going to happen tonight has started going on at 10 o'clock instead of closing out the show.
Sure.
I think WWE is very aware that 3 hours is a lot of time to watch wrestling. And it's like they're starting to adjust appropriately.
Hmm.
So it's curious once this 2-hour version of the show comes in, as you'll start to see what WWE is admitting, like, yeah, this was filler.
Right.
This wasn't important. This was filler. Because they are all but saying, like, and I know they've done this before because they have like a 90-minute version on Hulu.
Right.
So
it's probably just going to be that edit, but also with, you know, commercial breaks and everything.
Yeah. But the fact that it's going to be on TV is a very interesting kind of step in, not necessarily like a different way to watch it, but what exactly is WWE going to be cutting? Is it segments? Is it replays?
I would assume probably a lot of replays. They would probably honestly cut down some of the matches, probably.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's necessarily a good or bad thing, but that's probably, if I had to pick, that's probably where they're going to, you know, trim it down some.
So, anyway, that struck me as interesting. I kind of want to see what they do with that. I'll honestly probably watch the first couple, and even if I don't watch them like straight through, I'll
check it out for a few minutes.
Yeah, or like scan through it and kind of like see, like, oh, Yeah, this is what got skipped.
Fair enough.
So I want to see if it's noticeable, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Real quick, there was somebody on Reddit this week that actually did ask about Class Ring Attire, so I can't remember your username right now, but I did want to give you a quick shout-out, so thank you for asking about us.
Shout-out to Reddit user.
Yeah, you know you are. The one.
Yeah, good job.
Alright.
Alright, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can follow us there. You can subscribe and get a new episode every week. You maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easily follow Chris. Easily follow myself. Just kind of follow the podcast, see what other things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.